as it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
So you may remember the other day we were talking about one of the best states in the country to live in. And, you know, we went through the whole thing. U.S. News and World Report came out with the best states. And the best state to live in the country, they said, is Massachusetts. They have the number two health care in the country behind Hawaii. They have the number five economy. They're number seven in crime and corrections. But they're number one in education. And you go, here's an idea. Maybe for all of those states that are at the bottom, I don't know, kind of like Pennsylvania, we're somewhere in the middle bottom. But maybe we should look at what they're doing there. From what I understand, they're one of the highest states per pupil spending in the country. And they do things, well, maybe not as dumb as we do. Maybe they don't have as many vouchers or as charters. And that's, to me, one of those questions of, you know, what is it that makes them number one? And here to answer some of that and maybe talk about the insanity going on in her neck of the woods, I've asked Amy Dubai to come talk with us. She's a Massachusetts teacher, also one of our badass teacher friends. Amy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
So again, you know, number one in the country, best place to live in the entire country, according to U.S. News and World Report.
Yes.
And education kind of being the reason.
Yeah, we have a great public school system all throughout Massachusetts, but we also have areas that are very, very affluent. And as we know, zip codes affect achievement because it's a different environment there.
And so, I mean, look, I'm sure you've got troubled schools like everybody else, but to be number one, you've got to be doing something right.
Yes, we are. I mean, consistently, we're topping all these reports. We have been for decades, but that doesn't stop these charters from trying to push in and tell us that we need charters. Even though we're topping the nation, we still have the hammer coming down on us. We need charters. We need to lift the cap. We need to bring more charters in.
Now, does Massachusetts have a large number of charter schools? I mean, you look at urban areas across the country where I grew up in Cleveland, there's tons of them. You look at Milwaukee, Chicago, Philadelphia. They're just rife with these charters that are failing, by the way. What's it like in Massachusetts?
Well, not nearly the extent of charters as Chicago and New Orleans. But what's happening in Massachusetts is they're labeling little by little. They're picking the lowest districts, and they're trying to label them. They've created a new level. They're called level five school districts, and they have somebody to take over that district, a receiver. And what the receiver does is basically bring in the charters. And I don't know if these chains are outside of Massachusetts or not, but such charters include MATCH, UP Academy, KIPP.
So you've got a lot of the same problems that everybody else does then. And again, for me, it comes down to poverty. I mean, you said there are a lot of affluent areas. I wonder how many charter schools are in the affluent areas.
Oh, hardly any. They don't want them. They definitely don't want the charters because with the charters come these stringent behavior rules, increase in suspension, scripted lessons. The affluent communities don't want anything like that for their kids.
Nor would they tolerate it.
No. Oh, no, no. The way that kids were treated, I worked in a receivership district in Lawrence, and the way the children were treated were subhuman. I have two children of my own. I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, and I would not want anyone to treat my children that way.
And, you know, I look at this, and again, it comes back to, you know, we ask the question of, you know, how did we get to this place? How is it that the state that has the number one education system in the country is still under siege from the moneyed interests who are attempting to take over public education? And it just comes back to one simple thing. It's about the money.
It is. And, you know, these receivership districts, what they do is they say, we need to fire at least 50% of the staff in each school. And then who do they hire? They hire Teacher America. They hire 20-year-olds. They hire people who have never been principals to be principals. It's a mess. There's no experience. When I was working at a receivership district, at 34, I was the oldest person. I was the oldest teacher in the school. And that was a little scary because you did not have the kind of expertise you used to have. And if you go into a more affluent zip code, you would have a lot of teachers with experience.
And, you know, the scary thing is what we're seeing going on is you're right. We're getting rid of all the older, experienced teachers, and we're bringing in all of these people who, well, they're with the program, so to speak. We're doing the online thing. We're doing the charter thing. We're eventually going to do the robot thing, I think.
And if you notice, the charters and the receivership districts, at least in Massachusetts, they have the highest turnover rate. They have the youngest staff, the least experienced staff, the highest turnover rate, and the least number of teachers that are certified for the area that they're teaching in. This is I've actually gone on the Massachusetts Department of Education website. You can find all these facts there. They're there. I've had them on Excel spreadsheets. I'm not making this up. This is, you'd be in awe if you just played around with a lot of those spreadsheets on that Massachusetts Department of Education site.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. I mean, but at the end of the day, the reality is the bottom line message is what we're being sold isn't any better than what we have, and we're actually getting less of it because, well, the money's being siphoned off all along the way, and that's the frustrating part to me. Look, I'm open to the idea of doing things a little bit differently. I actually liked the idea of charters at the beginning, give teachers the flexibility to try different things. Some kids learn at different paces and in different manners. Do that. But that's not what we got.
That's not what we're seeing at all. It's very concerning, and they're definitely they're not getting a better education. They're getting a worse education, but it's the shell game. What's happening in Massachusetts, in these receivership districts, they bring in the charters, they get all these waivers. Oh, we don't have to meet these requirements. We're special now. We're the receivership district. And we get, less of a quality of education there. And a lot of times they'll take one school and then they'll divide it into a whole bunch of little schools. So you can't really track the data as well. It's like a hide the shell, that game that used to be on The Price is Right, like rearranging things. So it looks like you've made improvements, but then you really haven't.
So what's the argument? I mean, I don't want to make too much of this, Massachusetts being the number one state in the country for education. And if, whatever it is that they're doing, maybe we should be replicating instead of bringing the hammer into Massachusetts and thinking everything's a nail. Maybe we should look at some of the things that they're doing right, replicate that in all of the other areas. That seems logical to me, no?
Well, I think you would have to replicate some of the more affluent districts. That's what you have to replicate. We have the same poverty problems. I don't think we have the poverty problems as much as other states. I mean, that's a big chunk of it. Is you have a lot of people making a good living in Massachusetts, living in wealthy areas, but our poverty districts are similar to any poverty district. I think what's happening is, like everywhere else, the state comes in and they're always changing the tests, and the schools are teaching to the test because they know that there's some high stakes involved. And the tests are definitely made to target these systems that have high poverty so that they're more easily turned to charters.
So ultimately, in your view then, correct me if I'm wrong, but in your view that this whole game seems to be rigged to, especially at the bottom of the socioeconomic scale, to just destroy public education entirely.
Most certainly, yes.
Yeah. The question then comes, if that's the case, where does it stop? I remember at one point there was like 5% of the schools had to go through turnover, and we were going to get to all of them. And you go, at what point do you start getting into the schools that aren't struggling, or do you make them struggle?
I think you make them struggle. In Massachusetts, we had this MCAS, Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System, and they were always changing it. We had Mitchell Chester, who just so happened to be on the board for PARC, for the PARC exam. Then the state wanted all of a sudden to get all these contracts with PARC. Then there was a conflict of interest made. Our Secretary of Education, Dan Tizer, he is actually on the board of a charter committee,
wow,
like a pro charter. they're all in bed with Tartars. You can just track it on all the way through. And so now, because people raise such a fuss about our Commissioner of Education being on the board for Park, they've now decided not to have the Park contract. So now it's back to MCAS, but it's MCAS 2.0. So it's MCAS, but it looks more like Park. It's just nonsense, utter nonsense.
And for those of us, you know, parents who want just what's best for our kids, all of that stuff sounds like gibberish. MCAT and Park and this and that. At the end of the day, what we want is we want our kids to get the best opportunities possible so that they have an opportunity to get ahead in their life. And, you know, I look at all of these. Look, when I was a kid growing up, busing was all the rage. They took poor kids from one side of the city, you know, shipped them to another poor side of the city. We're just rearranging poor people. It seems now all we're doing with poor people is giving them bad choices or really no choice.
It's peculiar what's happening to the charters, because when you look at the demographics, it's almost as if the kids who go to the charter, well, we know that it's not the same population of English language learners. It's not the same percentages of English language learners, special ed. So they're getting a different selection of students, too. It's skewing a lot of the data that comes through.
Right, but here's the thing. Even when they are creaming and they're taking the kids with the best backgrounds and the best opportunity, they're still not exceeding the other kids. And it's mind-blowing, because you would think if I got to pick my team, if I got to pick all of the kids that I want, I would do better because, well, I got to pick them.
Yeah, but they still have inexperienced teachers, because when you look at charters statistically, they have a younger workforce that are not certified in the areas that they're teaching, a larger percentage of students a larger percentage of teachers that are not as experienced or certified.
It's just insane. And now I understand, again, in your neck of the woods, they're still pushing this stuff, right? They're still pushing more charters and raising the cap and doing all that stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's coming from the top. It's coming from the politicians. It's coming from our Commissioner of Education. It's coming from our Secretary of Education, because they all have a hand in it somehow. It all goes back to there are connections with these charter organizations and our top-level politicians.
And you got to wonder how much of that is campaign cash, how much of that is, well, at the end of the day, just about the money.
Oh, there's a lot of money behind charters. I mean, otherwise, it's become quite crazy. I mean, you have all these celebrities now cashing in on, oh, there's money to be made with charters. Now all of a sudden, P. Diddy wants charter. It's nonsense.
Yeah, that's the guy I want. Him and Bobby Brown. Let's let them have our kids.
Yeah, it's just crazy talk. I was just listening to NPR, and they had a really good piece about how everyone's an expert now, because they go on the internet and now they're the expert on education or they're the expert on healthcare, when the true experts who have been in the field, nobody listens to anymore.
Yeah, we mock you. We mock you people. You know something. You're worthy of being mocked and humiliated.
Yes.
Something wrong there. Just something absolutely wrong about that. I mean, we used to value knowledge, and we used to value people's opinions. Now, if it isn't on the internet, I guess it doesn't exist. So last question I've got for you, in looking at this whole scenario, I mean, as a parent, we want what's best for our kids. What do we do in this world?
Well, what I did as a teacher is I moved to a different district, but not everybody can do that. Yeah. And once you're in, at least in Massachusetts, we call them receivership districts, where there are a ton of charters. If you're in a receivership district, you're going to get a whole bunch of carpetbaggers. You're going to get these Teacher America kids that have never been in the city that they're now teaching in. They don't understand the students. They don't understand the background. There's no institutional memory of, oh, we did this 5 years ago, or that kid had a house fire 2 years ago. There's not that community anymore.
No, they're just little widgets that we're pouring knowledge into and moving them right along. Sad stuff.
We're trying to figure things out just like every other state is. And the only answer really is to play the long game and vote for people who are pro-democracy and pro-public schools in the true sense of the word.
It all comes back to politics, doesn't it?
It definitely does.
Interesting stuff. Anyway, if you
we
want
have to make them accountable, the politicians, for what they do, just as much as they're trying to make teachers accountable for a lot of things that are out of teachers' hands.
Most certainly. I mean, on both sides of the political spectrum, especially for me, especially the Democrats, because they should know better. But yeah. Amy, I appreciate
definitely.
You. I appreciate you taking a little time for us. I'd love to talk to you again at some point in the near future.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Amy Doobie, if you want to check out her stuff, we've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. We'll take you right over to the Badass Teachers website. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Get away. Get a good job with more pay and you're okay. Money. It's a gas.
Smart policy and sound investment matters. The Rick Smith Show.